Mini episode 131 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, this is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris welcoming you to one of the six Lounge mini-episodes that comprise the sixth edition of the FDH Lounge Pantheon. I am joined by some of our finest FDH Lounge dignitaries for this occasion. The Pantheon is our celebration of the best of the best from all walks of life. All previous FDH Lounge Pantheon inductees can be found on our homepage at thefdhlounge.com. Members of the FDH Lounge Pantheon are voted in by the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences, which is comprised of the FDH Lounge dignitaries and other advisors and supporters of FDH. We hope you enjoy our Pantheon broadcasts as much as we enjoy bringing them to you. In the event of any ties in the balloting, they will be broken on the air by our dignitaries hosting the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to induct the sixth class of the FDH Lounge Pantheon. All right, FDH Lounge Pantheon 6. We're going through the non-sports categories here. This is non-sports part 1 going through these here. Best pro wrestling announcer. We always do something wrestling related. And best chain restaurant. Rick Morris joined by Bob Glassman, Anthony Patrone, Matt Patrone for these ones here and going through. Let's take a look here at best pro wrestling announcer, as we always do first, at the ones that got one vote apiece. One vote apiece for Josh Matthews. One vote apiece for, and these are from the Patrone brothers, Anthony and Matt, respectively, Michael Cole and Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Yes.
A man whose pro wrestling character was deliberately cast as illiterate ends up being the best pro wrestling announcer
and
of all time.
And as for Michael Cole, you can't beat the guy who is the biggest shill out of anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah, he is a horrible announcer. The other one that only got one vote, a little bit surprised, and this was the last vote in. There's a vote for Bobby the Brain Heenan from Raymond Smalley. Only one vote for him. That was a little bit surprising. As we start to move up the line here, three votes for Gorilla Monsoon. In the balloting here, there were four votes for. I was joined by three other very discerning individuals in voting for Gordon Solie, the late great Gordon Solie. He gets four votes. Five votes coming up just short, including the one that Bob Glassman here voted for, Mean Gene Okerlund, as he gets five votes apiece.
Yeah, I forgot about him too.
Mean Gene was doing pretty good. He rallied late. He got. And looking at this, there were 30 balloters. Unsurprisingly, not all of the 30 voted in this category. This might have had more abstentions than some of your other ones here. But Mean Gene got, as I'm looking at this here, I'm always fascinated by when these things come in. He got, let's see, three of the last seven went to him, and he only got five votes total. So Mean Gene with a late rally, but could not take down the man. Boomer Sooner, Jim Ross, ends up winning this category here.
At
yeah.
What happened to Taz?
Jim Ross. Taz got no votes.
Taz got no votes.
Mike Tanay got no votes. I'm trying
see,
to think
most of these
the,
names I know.
Jesse Ventura got no votes.
That's another one I was just thinking about.
Piper got no votes. No, Randy Savage got no votes.
Jack Reynolds going old school.
Jack Reynolds, yeah. Yeah.
Jesse Ventura, he was the greatest governor ever, so don't put him with announcers, man.
Thank you, yes. Jesse Ventura. Past lounge guest, and I understand returning soon. That's what FDH New York Bureau tells me that, yes. Well, I actually got a copy of his most recent book in the mail here. Demo Crips and Republic Bloods, or something like that. It's some Crips and Bloods analogy about the two-party system.
I thought I was going to be using my body through Minnesota.
Ooh. I'll tell him you said that. Our Anthony Patrone says. So... Jim Ross ends up winning this one here, and our panel right now that we have is not comprised of any great pro wrestling enthusiasts outside of myself. So
Where's
we'll probably
Mike
be
Patak?
Yeah. probably be moving on from this one rather quickly. But good old JR ends up winning it. Yeah, no love for Jack Reynolds, Bob. That would have been a good one.
Well, if wrestling, especially wrestling out of Cleveland, Jack Reynolds being the father of one Tony Rizzo, was a great announcer, played it up wonderfully with the Bobo Brazil, Johnny Powers era of wrestling. But in choosing Okerlund over Ross or vice versa, I guess it was whether you were a fan of WCW or the WWF.
Yeah.
Because they were both the heads of those two. I was not a fan of WCW and was a major fan in the late 80s,
mid 90s. That's why I was surprised that Mean Gene wouldn't come up more, because he was the WWF and that was more popular. That was the most popular wrestling.
See, I forgot about
Well, Jim Ross was the voice of them during the Attitude Era in the late 90s. So Jim Ross was announcer in a less successful period of WCW, but then, well, you got the old-timers like myself that remember like the late 80s and the heyday and loved watching him then and maybe even prefer him a little better then. To almost everybody else, I think they associate him with the WWF from that era.
Well, see, I had forgot about Mean Gene, but the only reason I had thought about Michael Cole...
He's not
Cole,
really an announcer. He's more of an interviewer, but I guess he counts.
The only reason I thought of Michael Cole was because of the last time I went. I actually went to a SmackDown not too long ago and had pretty good seats. I was on TV. You could see my big back.
Yeah, I watched him.
You could see the mammoth red Sports Talk Cleveland shirt. No, I'm kidding. I had to make that joke. But you could see the mammoth. I actually had my Ohio State shirt on, but you could see the mammoth red shirt.
Big ketchup bottle.
I did. I looked like a big ketchup bottle. Or as a mutual friend of ours would have called me, the Kool-Aid pitcher. But I thought of Michael Cole because I was sitting there just watching this, and all of a sudden they went, please welcome Michael Cole. And that was the – but I remember back in the 80s when we used to get home from church, it was on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock. We'd come through the door of church, WWF, right on, right there, and –
yeah, it lasted for about 2 years, and that's when Mean Gene was on. So.
What I would do in the 80s, very very similar thing, if we went to like Saturday afternoon mass or whatever, I would always try and have it so that I think it was like a fishing show that was on before Georgia Championship Wrestling, later World Championship Wrestling. And then, you know, the general rule of thumb was, oh, hey, it's rude to change the channel. Somebody's got something on. So it would be on, and I would pretend I was watching the end of the fishing show, and, oh, hey, it just happens to be World Championship Wrestling.
Wow, look at that bass.
Yeah.
I think just as a genre, Rick, I mean, they're such great entertainers because they know what's going on. They knew what was going to happen, and you wouldn't know that they weren't seeing something like in a baseball game or football game just happening randomly.
Mm-hmm.
They all just took make the sport of pro wrestling what it is.
Well, and it's funny, too. You mentioned about Jack Reynolds. I always you have to laugh about this story. You know, those glory days of pro wrestling in Cleveland when they used to shoot the program over at the old Channel 43 studios here in Parma, Ohio. And I grew up in Parma. Now, that was before I was, like, really old enough to know what was going on. So that I didn't really notice at the time. This is something I found out later on. And I have a real fondness for Parma, and where we're actually taping this right now, as a matter of fact. But I have a real fondness for it. But particularly when I grew up and went to college and everything like that, there would always be people that would want to give you like a white trash kind of a rap because you're from Parma or anything like that. So for a town that has battled to kind of live that down, when I found out the origins of one of the main streets in town, I just had to laugh my nards off. This is hilarious. Powers Boulevard, where, you know, the police station is, Parma Hospital, whatever. Anybody have any idea what Powers Boulevard is named after? Bob, you want to take it?
Yeah, a Canadian last, Johnny Powers.
Johnny Powers, one of our main streets in town here, is named after a pro wrestler. That is like the greatest thing ever.
Nice. Didn't know that.
Yeah, now you do. I always have to laugh about that.
I have to put that in the Cliff from...
Cliff Clavin?
Yeah. Cheers. Put that in the bank there.
You can bust that out on somebody. All right, so Boomer Sooner, Jim Ross ends up taking We Lift the Dundee Award, induct Jim Ross into the FDH Lounge Pantheon. Best chain restaurant. We got a fair number of these that only got one vote apiece. I, due to some alleged slovenly eating habits on my part, liked Ponderosa Steakhouse
with the large.
That's a good one.
Yeah, with the large buffet that comes with the steak.
Is there any of those around anymore?
Those are a dying breed. Although, lounge dignitary Nate Noy informs us down in southern Ohio, down in Appalachia, those do still exist. So I think it's more of a regional thing at this point here. We got a vote for Applebee's. There was a vote for Chick-fil-A. There were two different people who voted half vote apiece, lower end, higher end. Chris Galloway voted for lower slash medium end Red Robin and another place called Smith and Walensky for higher end, which I do not really have much familiarity with. Similarly, there was a vote for Jack in the Box lower end and something called Carino's on the higher end. So there was that. I think I said Chick-fil-A already. One vote for P.F. Chang's. One vote for Bob's Big Boy. One vote for something called Taco Mac, which I suspect is a southern one. Well, my sister-in-law, Kendra Morris, who's a member of the Academy of Arts and Sciences for FDH, she voted for that one, lives in Atlanta. So, yeah, that's probably southern. One vote for Aladdin's, very precious vote from John Adams. One vote for Waffle House. One vote for Hooters. One vote for Red Lobster. Think about that. Just the fact that I said Waffle House, Hooters, Red Lobster.
All in the same sentence.
God bless the FDH Lounge Academy of Arts and Sciences. We are a diverse people. We are a very diverse people. Those are all the ones that got one vote. Two votes for. There were two gentlemen, quite possibly related.
No.
Who voted for the regional chain of Wing Warehouse.
Well, we actually had a debate on whether that was actually considered a chain restaurant.
I didn't stipulate it couldn't be a regional chain.
Then we talked and we decided there's more than one, which makes it a chain.
It's a regional chain, but I didn't say you couldn't vote regional chains.
Wing Warehouse.
So, yay for the patrons driving through that loophole right there. Two votes for TGI Fridays. Oh, actually, let me retreat here back on the one vote. Waffle House, an excellent one. Bob, you voted for that. That's very good. My favorite, I voted, when we did best sandwich of all time, I voted for the bacon, egg, cheese on Texas toast. That's my favorite sandwich in the world from Waffle House.
That was the easiest question for me to answer. As a family growing up, my father, my brother, and myself would occasionally drive to Delaware, Ohio, just to go to a Waffle House. That was the closest one to Cleveland. Thankfully, there are more around. There are plenty around the greater Cleveland area. And no, it's Waffle House is Waffle House. But to me, there's nothing. And neither of us are going to mention waffles in this, which my kids love. But the hash browns,
yes.
Well done, scattered, and if you like them smothered, covered.
I do got to agree with you on the traveling thing, going to Waffle Houses. When we were kids, going on vacation, Mom and Dad would pile us all in the van, and we'd drive to Myrtle Beach or Virginia Beach or Florida or something, and we'd stop at a Waffle House all of the time.
Well, there was a thing a couple of years back. My dad and I were driving to spend a belated Christmas with my brother's family down in Atlanta, and there was some kind of scheduling snafu where we couldn't be there on Christmas. I don't remember why. My dad and I were available, but I guess it didn't work out for them. So we were driving on Christmas and then stopping somewhere and then finishing the drive the next day. We had Christmas dinner at a Waffle House in rural North Carolina. And I turned to my dad. I was like, what, the flea market wasn't available? Again, I love Waffle House. I just don't think I ever imagined eating Christmas dinner there.
I think the culture of the Waffle House, too, just with the short order cook,
yep.
The waitresses, that which could be the same whether you're in rural Georgia or rural Ohio. Just a wonderful sight. And I guess from my personal experience, being at a Waffle House virtually every of the 24 hours at some point in time, in various states of mind, too. But
it's great food.
Point.
Yeah.
Well, is that one of the home with a picture menu?
Yeah.
Just point. That's only one of those.
I laugh because I don't know if you've ever noticed that in the NFL right now and how a lot of the coaches are terrified about, you know, being able to, you know, the lip reading with the cameras. So they'll hold up their play charts in front of them. And all of a sudden they're going, why is Sean Payton holding up a Waffle House menu in front of his mouth? You know? It's kind of like the color
he's
splotches.
Hungry.
Yeah.
Okay, football games are long.
Yeah. Forget about running bounties. Dude's ordering his food during the game. I think he's got another problem.
That might have been what happened. Maybe somebody got confused with him ordering lunch.
Yeah, I think that's the real root of his suspension. So, all right, yeah, on the multiple votes, Wing Warehouse got two, TGA Fridays got two, Outback Steakhouse got two. Mike Petek, who is legendary for his love of Outback Steakhouse, was one of the two votes for that. Chili's got two. My dad and I actually ate there recently. I had forgotten how good Chili's is. Chili's has good food. Yeah.
Very good food. That would have been my second vote was Chili's. Of all the chain restaurants of the like, good food, and even at lunchtime where I go for a business lunch occasionally, they have a cup of soup, half a sandwich, and fries. Again, not to fill up the plate, but just enough for $6. Mm-hmm. It's a great deal.
It
good
is.
Food.
And you got to love a place that will serve you a margarita for $8, and it's a tasty margarita, and you get 4 or 5 out of the little pitcher that they plop on your table.
Nice. Got to like that. By the way, as far as quality, Cracker Barrel, 2 votes for that.
That's the one I was kind of surprised that hadn't been mentioned until now.
Yeah.
Still not as good as Wing Warehouse.
Two votes for that. Well, I'll tell you what. And I think I misstated before when I said we were done with the ties. We do actually have a tie here that we're going to be breaking in this one.
Thai food or a tie?
I would take Thai food over one of these places, if not both. And I'm not a very adventurous eater. 3 votes apiece. And here's the funny thing. I believe the parent company owned at one time both of these. 3 votes apiece for Chipotle and McDonald's.
Wow, they did.
Yeah.
They did.
I thought so.
Is there a third one in... There
3 votes apiece. That's a straight up tie. And that's, I mean, if I, that's a tough one because those wouldn't be that high for me.
I'm going to throw out another one. I'll start for the tiebreaker if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I'm going to throw out another one that hasn't been mentioned.
Okay.
Fuddruckers.
Fuddruckers should be in there, yeah.
Fuddruckers. I had never tried a Fuddruckers
until we
were down in Texas for a friend's wedding.
Okay.
And he goes, dude, you have got to try this place.
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of burgers. Every once in a while I'll eat a burger, I'll be okay with it. But I prefer a chicken sandwich. Well, I walked into this place, I got a chicken sandwich, and he goes, that cart over there, any of those toppings? I'm like, really?
Wow.
It's a salad bar, but it's all burger toppings. You can build. You have to build your own burger, but you can put whatever you want on
as much as you
as
want.
As much as you want. If you want it sloppy enough that you need a, you get a half pound burger or whatever size burger you want, and you can put it on your plate, and you have to eat it with a knife and fork. You can make it that sloppy.
I'm curious about the range that they have here. Does it include, say, hot fudge?
Yes.
Really?
You can get anything.
Wow.
The one in Hilton Head that I went to had a lot bigger of a bar than the one in Texas that we went to.
Okay.
So the one in Hilton Head, I believe, had hot fudge on it.
Wow.
It had a lot.
Not that I would ever
stuff.
Do that, but okay.
I would never either. But there was a lot of stuff that I would never put on. I wouldn't even think to put on.
It can give you your own disgusting combination right in a restaurant.
Well, and who doesn't like that,
whatever,
really, at the end of the day?
Whatever creation you want to make, you get to make it.
Who doesn't like that? All right, so a couple Fuddruckers here.
The one I went to, not really a chain, but Wasabi. I went there the one day, and as the cook we had would say, God bless America, or a big Mexican man speak English.
Nice. So the Patron brothers, a couple of Fuddruckers, or as folks sometimes use the word mother thrown in. It sounds similar to that anyways.
Yeah. There's Matt's new saying, yeah. You mother Fuddrucker.
Fuddrucker.
Bob, what's your thought for the second ballot?
I'll go for the body of work if we're choosing between the two chains that got the top number of votes.
Mm-hmm.
And although today I'd rather go to Chipotle just because of the body of work, I will go for McDonald's.
Okay. That's
Anthony
fine.
Said that wasn't his vote.
I was just talking about it. That wasn't my second ballot vote. I would have went with Chili's.
Okay. Chili's.
You're asking a big deal here. I don't care too much for Chipotle or McDonald's. Even though I eat McDonald's a lot.
I wouldn't
consider that one of the best chains.
I always vote my conscience on this. I'll vote Waffle House here, which only gives it 2, which throws it in the end because Bob was the one ultimately that broke the tie between Chipotle and McDonald's. Bob rescued us from further stalemate here, and we're going with McDonald's. So Bob casts the vote for it. McDonald's is the winner, thanks to Bob. We left the Dundee Award to induct McDonald's into the
pantheon. I don't eat at McDonald's, and since I couldn't vote for Wing Warehouse again, which in my mind is the best eatery anywhere. Thank you, Daryl. But
can I take that back, or should I say, can I throw that up?
Well, you gotta let it sit in your stomach for 2 days first.
That would perhaps be more apropos.
I was actually hoping that if And before you went straight to Bob, because I was just talking about Fuddruckers, okay. I was actually hoping that if I'd have said Chili's, maybe he'd have said Chili's and we'd have had a leapfrog.
Yeah, that could have. And that's happened before. That has happened.
That's kind of why I threw Fuddruckers in there.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I didn't know you guys didn't know a Fuddruckers.
I was working on a plan.
Oh, I know what Fuddruckers is.
It, you know, but as it's just interesting. Wendy's didn't get mentioned. BK, a lot of the other chain
if you're going
ones.
If you're going for, like, fast food Arby's. Chains on that end, I'd definitely go for Burger King or Wendy's over McDonald's any day.
It,
my only problem with those is when I eat out on Fridays, I got a half an hour for lunch. I got to go to the bank. I got to go get something to eat. And Burger King and Wendy's, their line is either always too long or they're slower than McDonald's. McDonald's is it's there, boom, ready.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll leave you all with this on the subject of chain restaurants here. A great column. Everybody should go look this up on Deadspin recently. Somebody writing a column on the joys at Chick-fil-A they had for a temporary, as a limited time only, picture this, three words, banana pudding milkshake.
Ew.
That's you ruined it, Matt. You ruined it. You ruined the moment.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.